Good afternoon.
Hi, Elias.
What shall we discuss this day?
Well, I'm looking forward to this quite a bit. So originally, what I wanted to discuss with you this morning was related to, I ended up having a significant argument with the wife last night, and I was still quite angry this morning. But then I had an insight into something which I wanted to explore with you, which kind of makes all of that irrelevant to the degree it's true. And I think it's true because it's consistent with what everything you've said. It's just maybe putting it in my own terms so that I can actually implement it better.
Well,
okay. So the theory would be that, and I call it the abundance versus lack theory, is that my environment is made up of a variety of elements of varying importance to me, and those elements occur in degrees of, you know, abundance or lack depending upon how I react to those elements or how I guess you would say perceive, but the way it works in my understanding, again, would be the idea that when I think of that topic, what is my immediate reaction? Is it worry? Is it to doubt? Or even to wonder, versus is it an appreciation of maybe a positive aspect of it? And that the more that I obviously taking it with a negative light leads more to a lack of that element to the degree that it was an element that I want, and vice versa for the appreciation. How does that sound?
Yes, I would agree.
Okay, because that implementation of that is just very easy from my perspective. I mean, it's something I've done in the past with specific elements, but never tied it all together. And if an item or let's say an element, again, I'm calling it an element, I could call it a subject, or is of importance to me, I can train myself so that I notice whenever I am putting my attention on it. And I have done this in the past. I can change what my reaction was or quickly follow with that reaction to some sort of appreciation of it.
Very well.
And I've used that in the past successfully, but again, I've just never tied it together. So if that applies, if that's correct, then positive and negative encounters with the wife, which again, why I said this made it irrelevant, would be one of those elements. And I, depending upon when I think of my wife or when my attention moves a direction, if I've been having negative encounters with her, it's because my reaction when my attention is in that direction, and I can easily change that. And so that's actually, it's something I know how to do. I don't need to ask about it.
I would agree that is the direction, and that is the method. And in that, it is basically about what is important and what is not important and how important it is. And generally, if you are asking yourself why it is important, that can influence the significance of the importance also.
And I can make a list in what I've done of things that I consider important. And just by making that list and reflecting on that list, it makes other things that aren't on that list less important, at least.
Yes. Yes. It allows you to actually identify what is important to you and what is more important and what is less important And in that, the more you ask yourself, why is this important to me, the more you may begin to recognize that certain subjects, certain expressions that you thought were more important are not necessarily more important, and that allows you to prioritize.
Excellent. And so now a couple of questions on digging into this. And so one is, the question I had is the difference between thinking and projecting. And the way I'm using these terms is, you talk about thinking doesn't create your reality, but the term you use is projecting is what normally I would describe as someone is thinking of the future, and let's say they're fearing, you know, worried about something in the future, you call that projecting. What is the difference between the two?
Between thinking and projecting?
Right. Because to the way...
It's a matter of what you are thinking and how that would determine whether you are projecting or not. If you are using your thought mechanism in the capacity of what it is designed for and in its natural function, then your thinking is directed to now. And you may include certain factors that may move in relation to past or future, but they are generally secondary and an aside. They are not what you are mainly thinking about. Now, if what you are mainly thinking about is the future or the past, and you are, in a manner of speaking, consumed or fixed in relation to past experience or an anticipation of a future experience, then what you are doing is projecting your attention away from yourself into past or future.
And
in that,
mm-hmm.
are no longer present. You cannot be present, for your attention is projected outside of you and is either in the past or the future. Now that is...
the difference between thinking and paying attention.
No, it is the difference between how you are using your thinking.
Okay.
What you are paying attention to. For in that, it is not your thinking itself that projects you into the future or into the past. It is how you are using your thought mechanism, what you are doing with it, how you are paying attention, and how you are focusing your thinking.
And that does influence your reality.
Yes.
Okay.
But what you pay attention to is the single most affecting factor in relation to your perception. And your perception creates your reality.
Well, I just want to let you know that I feel tremendous appreciation right now for you, because, and I wish I could share that with you, because
you are.
That's good, because that's what made I was so angry this morning, and it just made it completely irrelevant, and I immediately started thinking of many more topics that I'd rather just be appreciative of.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so the implementation of this, and you know, the instance I did it in the past where it was something was, I was running into a situation of lack, and so I would just, every time I had that twinge or whatever that, you know, ting, you know, do you know what I mean when I'm saying you have like a ping when you think of something?
Yes.
Make it a feeling associated with it, particularly if it's a concern. And then once I would recognize that, I would immediately switch to an appreciation of all the times that it's been easily available and how I really appreciated that. And I haven't had a problem in that area with lack since.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, it is a matter of translating that in very similar fashion to your interactions with other individuals.
Yes.
The only reason that seems more challenging is that you are so accustomed to being so absolute and including that right factor. Therefore, if you are not concerning yourself with the constructs and you are moving your attention in directions of what you actually appreciate, what you actually enjoy, what is actually comfortable for you, therefore what is important to you and what is not, that generates a very significant difference.
Okay, and so I'm going to be using that in a lot of areas. One of the areas would be, and every time I think of my wife, instead of thinking, you know, I guess normally my reaction prior to this insight would be, oh gosh, it's going to be another painful interaction.
And there you are, project that example of projecting.
Right.
Where is your attention? It is in anticipation. And if you are present, there is nothing to anticipate. You are only anticipating in relation to future. In this, when you move in that direction of anticipation of what will be or what might be, you turn your energy in that direction. And are you being present any longer? No. And are you paying attention to yourself? No. You are paying attention to some outside source.
And so once you learn to make that switch of attention, then the rest comes along much faster.
Precisely. And it is considerably easy. That is the piece that most individuals are not quite understanding yet, that it is not difficult. It does not require tremendous analyzation. It does not require tremendous effort. It is merely simply a matter of moving your attention to what is actually important.
The other thing that I noticed is that a lot of areas that, in other words, something that I would simply call wondering, which I guess is kind of a vague term, but it is included with that, is a concern about a negative outcome. And so I would wonder if this is going to happen. And I wouldn't really call it worrying, but there is some concern. And so that is a negative projection.
Yes. Yes, you are correct. That also easily avoided by paying attention to you and being present rather than wondering or being concerned with what might be. That is the what if.
Right, and it's a lack of trust.
Precisely.
I'm glowing inside right now.
Much more simple than you thought. And not as difficult either. Once you do it, and you validate yourself, and you show yourself that it is not difficult, then you realize that you can apply this in every direction.
That's the big key. Every direction.
Whether you are by yourself, whether you're with other individuals, whether it is about your car, whether it is about your couch, whether it is about your spouse or your children or your job or money or anything, it matters not. It applies in every direction.
And I've had, I can't believe it took me so long to put this all together, because I've had instances where I've been very successful with intentionally turning that around, but for some reason I just assumed that I didn't make the connection to that applies, you know, to everything.
And that is understandable. For you think and you perceive compartmentally that everything is separate and everything is sectioned and that everything isn't interconnected. This subject is not related to that subject, and therefore it is more challenging or more difficult for most individuals to recognize that there are so many expressions that connect everything together. Your constructs connect together, and they also separate. But in that, your energy connects to everything. And what you do with it determines what your outcomes will be.
Okay, that's great. Okay, on to another topic. Although this will obviously relate within all the topics. Okay. If you recall a number of sessions back, I talk about a situation where I was attracted to someone at work.
Yes.
Well, I had the insight and made the connection after our last call that I had created the whole situation intentionally from the beginning about a year ago, and completely forgot that I had done that. In other words, that, you know, we talk about that experiential visualization technique. I write them down occasionally and on things that I'm working on, and I found some notes that I had completely forgotten about where I was testing it out with her.
And
I got into a complete cycle that once it started to show some positive results, I immediately took my attention off of me and got lost in keeping it on to her, and led to a cycle of disappointment and so on.
And now what are you perceiving?
Well, now my intention is to use this as a test case to confirm, provide confirmation if I can continue along the same path that I had started last summer.
Ah.
And keep my focus on myself.
Ah.
Because it's a situation that I think would be like it's a level of difficulty, not difficulty in absolute terms, but in, you know, it's easy to do something with a perceived inanimate object, keep your attention on yourself, but it's harder when it's a relationship.
I would very much agree. And I have expressed that repeatedly. It is difficult for most individuals to be present and aware of themselves, even if they are engaging a conversation.
And when I found that note about basically that creative visualization note, it was such a confirmation because everything made sense, and it was just such every aspect of the how that proceeded is now in such a positive light in my mind, because without it would, you know, because of that, I was able to understand how this all works and how important it is.
Congratulations. Now, in that, in your experiment now, what are you looking to achieve in maintaining your awareness with yourself, but also engaging and paying attention to the other individual?
Well, the goal is to create a more fun relationship, something light, but fun.
Excellent. I would very much be encouraging of you. And you can do it.
And I wrote this question down, but I can answer this one myself, which was by my own assessment. I have I'm already changed what I was doing relative to the fall and when I was disappointed. And so I had a question written here whether you can confirm that, and I assume the answer is yes. if I have changed what I'm doing.
Yes. Yes, I would confirm that.
And then the second question I had was, now because I am focusing more on myself, are you able to confirm that I'm moving towards that goal?
Yes, I would. And in addition to that, you are being more present.
Right, without even trying to be present.
Precisely, and that is the point. It is not about trying to be present. It is about being present. And in that, you do not have to try.
Right.
You do not have to think about it. You do not have to express a tremendous effort. You merely do it. And in that, you will recognize that the more present you are, the more you are actually aware of your choices rather than reactions.
Are there any areas where perhaps I'm still doubting or discounting myself on this subject that you think I would be helpful to address? Any specific areas? Or is it? I mean, the one issue that comes up, obviously, is because this is a person I see often, is not to obviously pay too much attention to what they're doing.
No, what I would express is what potentially might be confusing is paying attention to the other individual and also being aware of you. That it's not about not paying attention to the outside source. It is about paying attention to the outside sources, being aware of what is occurring, but being aware of you to the degree that you know what you are participating with, and therefore you know what and when you are involving yourself, and whether that is a benefit to you or not. For the involvement aspect is very automatic.
Involvement aspect? When you're talking to someone or something like that?
Yes.
And then your attention is going to be, it's just be automatically going to go back into what it's used to doing.
Yes. And also, it is not merely that you are only paying attention to the other individual. There is an aspect of involvement, such as you are listening to the other individual, you are engaging in conversation, and your attention is considerably fixed on the other individual and what they're doing and what they are expressing, and then you find yourself involving yourself in what the other individual is expressing.
And judging it.
At times, yes. And that, I would express that. Let's use an example that, let us say, you are engaging in conversation with another individual, and the other individual begins to share a difficult situation with you, that they are experiencing a difficult situation. Now, you may be aware enough not to be echoing them, but it is very easy and very automatic to move in the direction of attempting to instruct them or to fix it and think that you are being helpful.
You know, somebody shared recently in the forum, you had a conversation with someone very recently where you gave a terrific reply on how to handle that type of situation, which was very much needed because a lot of times people express something that's challenging. And, you know, it's particularly for it's not that people are trying to be, you know, hurtful or anything like that. It's just simply that they don't know.
Correct.
What they're doing.
Yes. They are unaware of what they are expressing.
And I know personally for me, I think where you talked about possibly echoing is, for example, I work with colleagues, and so sometimes we'll talk or make jokes about the boss or something like that. And so the challenge is not getting caught up in that and projecting that same energy.
Correct. For in that, you perpetuate the expression that you don't want and that you don't like.
Right.
In that, you feel a camaraderie with other individuals, for you incorporate a common expression, and you may agree with them. You may agree that your boss is obnoxious, or that your boss incorporates actions that are ludicrous or stupid in your estimation, or are unaware, whatever it may be.
Right.
And in that, one individual is expressing that observation or sharing their experience in that direction, and you may actually agree, and you may actually incorporate similar experiences. But in echoing the other individual, oh yes, I know what you mean. Oh yes, I had this experience also, and on and on and on. And in doing that, what you are actually doing is merely perpetuating the very situation that you dislike or that is uncomfortable. And you are offering energy, you are giving energy to that boss to continue being and expressing precisely in the manner that they are. Whereas, if you are not echoing, then you have choices in relation to what you want to be projecting in energy, what you want to be affecting or influencing. And it is not a matter of expressing the opposite to the other individual. It is merely a matter of being aware of not echoing them, even though you agree with them. And in many situations, the reason that you echo is because you do agree with them. In other situations, you may echo an individual for you perceive that that is the manner in which you are being supportive of them. That this will let them know that you hear them and that you understand them. And in that, once again, it is not accomplishing what you think or what you want to be accomplishing.
I understand. Okay.
Involvement is more than echoing. Involvement is when you insert yourself into the other individual's situation by attempting to fix it, or attempting to instruct them, or attempting to express what is a better method to engage.
So where am I going?
Or by expressing to them in some capacity that is, in your estimation, more informed, or not moving in any of those directions, but allowing the other individual's situation to affect you and your choices and what you feel. Either of those directions is involving yourself in another individual's situation that does not actually involve you.
Okay. Okay, well, at least I've got my feedback system. My reality will tell me what what it is I am doing, so I'm running into difficulty or not.
I would be, in actuality, tremendously congratulating you in how well you are proceeding thus far and how much you are expending and how much you actually are implementing all of this to your great benefit.
And I feel great now, too. just a constant appreciation. It's just, and this was just started today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We broached upon this topic in a little bit in, let me see the example. You were talking about something relative to having expectations to someone and that could influence their automatic reaction, that it created difficulties in whatever it is you were trying to do. And that's a whole very interesting topic of interconnection.
I would agree. And in that, what are you exploring?
I'm exploring how much of my own automatic reactions is being influenced by what other people are projecting, and how can I tell?
How can you tell? That is a matter of paying attention to what you feel. For your feelings are your signals, and they are indicators to you. They indicate to you energy you are receiving. They indicate to you energy you are outputting. And in that, if other individuals express expectations of you, you will feel it, for they are projecting an energy of want from you. The expectations that are somewhat more tricky to identify are the ones you agree with.
Do you can feel or sense that this person wants something from me, which is a very, it's something I can readily recognize.
Yes. And the feeling will be expressed in varying degrees, especially if you are very accustomed to it.
If you're accustomed to that want, you mean, or?
Yes. Yes.
There's a person that frequently wants something from me.
And consistently in the same manner. Such as another individual may express they want you to be the authority with the children.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a subject that must be expressed continuously, repeatedly. It is an expectation that is projected constantly. Or,
and that's another, we're talking about that's a real example there, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Or,
we just have different views of how important certain habits are with our kids.
Yes. And in that, it is actually a matter of evaluating, is that an expectation that you agree with? And if so, that can be more tricky. For if it is an expectation of yourself also, that is not necessarily to your benefit. It is a matter of reevaluating in this, not in the capacity of an expectation. For if you have an expectation of yourself in a certain capacity to be the authority, then you also, by extension, have an expectation of the children to be responsive to that or to be somewhat subservient to it.
Right, and there's definitely, I mean, a lot of expectations around being a parent. And
correct, and therefore evaluating what expectations are projected and what expectations do you agree with and therefore express to yourself also and hold yourself to. And in that, whether any of them are valid, and even if you express that they are in some capacity, that it is important to you, such as expressing an expectation of a particular role, as we express, in that, it might be important to you. But in that, it is also a matter of evaluating that in a more realistic manner of why it is important to you and how it is important to you and how you want to express it. And is it only your responsibility or is it a shared responsibility? And how is that defined? What does it look like?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot to talk about related to child rearing. Now that some of this other stuff is making a lot of sense for me, it's that's a topic I could put off while I'm, you know, unhappy with this and unhappy with that and got lots of things going on. But now that things are, you know, moving along a little more smoothly.
That I would also express that you are becoming more familiar with how to apply all of this with your partner, which is very important, and therefore how you can begin to move in a direction of generating more solidarity with your partner, and then
right.
You can
right now just not be happy with not generating anger, frustration.
Precisely, and then you can tackle the children.
It's fascinating to see the children pick up a lot of the, I mean, not necessarily in a good way, but the habits, not necessarily doing what we tell them, but doing what I do.
Much so, and they do. Very much so.
I could see I have an anger issue or have an anger reaction where it doesn't come up that often, and there's actually very few things that seem to set it off, but it was based on this view that if there's a threat, and I could tie this going down back to being a kid, I'm going to just destroy the threat with everything I have, you know, at that point.
And then it exists no more.
Right.
And it's necessary for you to concern yourself with it. But that is very reactive.
That doesn't work in real life.
And generally, it creates more threat.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of uncomfortableness. And so I, to the degree that my son is picking up that habit, that's something I would certainly, hopefully, help him
curb.
Because he's definitely picking up these anger flashes.
And I would agree that it would be very beneficial to be turning that and encouraging in other directions, that he can be channeling his energy in much more productive manners and beneficial manners to himself from an early age.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, trying to portray the, or get share those topics without him thinking I'm a crazy old man. another question quickly on the children is, my wife worries a lot about my daughter's lack of socializing or limited socializing. She's much more like me. She's much introverted. She's happy spending her time alone. It doesn't bother her at all to the degree that it appears. And my wife is very much where she's got to be constantly reaching out to people, doing things with friends. If she hasn't talked to someone in a long time, it bothers her. And so she's worried about my daughter because she's not behaving in that way. But I don't think there's – are you able to tell me if there's anything going on there that I should be worried about? I think it's just a different personality.
Not a matter of worrying, but I would also express, yes, there is a factor of difference in personality, but I would also express that there are other factors.
Okay.
Or what I would say to you is, she may be concerned or worrying more than is necessary, not that worrying or concern is ever necessary and definitely not helpful, but that your lack of concern is equally displaced. That, yes, I would concede that there is a difference in personality, and that your daughter is not as socially driven as your partner. But I would also express that there are reasons that she
is. She would rather not try than fail?
Partially. And she does, to a degree, isolate herself. And in that, it is involving her perception of herself and doubting herself and comparing herself. And therefore, she moves in a direction of isolating herself rather than attempting in directions that she perceives as potentially threatening and dangerous. It is scary to interact.
Oh, I know. I was as shy as could be growing up.
And in that, it is not necessarily an expression that is not to be noticed. I would not encourage being concerned.
Right.
But that is not helpful. But it is an expression that is worthy of being noticed. And therefore, moving in a direction of encouragement. And encouragement is not telling her to be more social.
Really? I think she would have, that would have worked by now if it was.
Or encouragement is not forcing her to be involved in certain group activities. Those are not directions that actually encourage her to incorporate a more confident perception of herself. Encouragement is noticing what interests her and moving in a direction of supportiveness and creativity. How to expand on what she is already interested in.
And she's a creative, artistic type a little bit.
And in that, there are many different avenues that can be engaged with creativity and artistic expressions. And it is a matter of precisely what I have expressed to you and to many other individuals. Use what you have. And when you are engaging children or employees or friends, it is the same principle. Use what they have and build upon what already exists, what
so
already is.
Would it
and
be
that?
Okay.
Matter of being creative. You do not encourage individuals that are shy to be more interactive by forcing them into interactive situations. You encourage individuals that are shy by allowing them to expand what they already do and are accomplished at. You build on their confidence and slowly expand that outward, which can include other individuals, but always in an encouraging manner. Challenge is not helpful when an individual is already doubtful.
I totally, totally understand. she gets plenty of that already. She doesn't need that. Okay. That's helpful. I'm going to think about that. And so there's definitely a lot of things she's good at and she's interested in. But even when she participates in those activities with other individuals doing the same thing, she's usually not involved with the other individuals. She's part of a group, but by herself.
Because of her perception of herself, she feels different. And in that, she feels isolated. And therefore, she may participate in a group activity, but do it in a manner of being alone.
Okay, and so maybe you could explain that a little bit differently on how I would encourage her and her current interests, but then also expand that, you know, beyond the isolation phase.
Well, I would express, and remember I said slowly.
Yep.
Thrusting into. But let us use a hypothetical example with artistic expressions. If she enjoys drawing or painting, or if she enjoys photography, then in that, you encourage her to do it herself and then expand on that. Perhaps engaging or encouraging her in relation to one other individual as a mentor or a class that she can individually participate in. She does not have to interact with the other individuals in the class. And in that, from that environment, then perhaps introducing her with one more individual in relation to expressing her accomplishment in the actual art. Therefore, the focus remains more on the art than the social interaction, and that can be less threatening. But the first aspect is to build the confidence in the action part. If an individual is not confident with themselves, if they perceive themselves to be different, and they isolate themselves, and they are questioning themselves, then they transfer that into everything they do, even in actions that they themselves at times think that they are good at, for then they compare themselves. I might be good at this, but other individuals are better.
I'm thinking that she has the maturity that I could slowly introduce her to some of these concepts of paying attention to herself.
Good.
She's very unlike the younger one.
Also be empowering to her. And in that, the focus is more on her and her confidence and what she is doing rather than other people.
Okay, that's great. All right, and we're running close to the time here. I just want to get in one question on related to presence, which is that occasionally, not often, but occasionally when I'm practicing with presence, and again, just presence by itself, beingness, I'll develop I call it a glass-like state, but it's a very transparent state where my emotions and thoughts are very muted. Everything is very clear. It's very peaceful. And it's very, very comfortable. Anything to say about that? Is that just...
I would express that that is excellent. Perfect. That would be achieving that presence. And in that, let me express to you a reminder that that is not to say that being present will always create a state of bliss. It will not. But even if there is some distress, it is very briefly expressed. And you know what it is about. Therefore, you have choices. But I would be very acknowledging of you. That is an accomplishment. And that is your example. Look to that state as your example of being present.
Okay, that's very helpful. I just want to make sure that wasn't... Yeah, I just want to make sure that it was authentic because, I mean, it certainly felt authentic and, but it's kind of rare as far as it's not certainly every time I try to be present or even every time I devote a significant amount of time to being present. Sometimes it just doesn't, most of the time it does not occur.
I would express that look to that as being your example, but once again, do not expect that you will always feel in that capacity.
Right.
The more familiar you become with being present, the less your body requires signaling you with a feeling that you are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, terrific. Well, Elias, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. I shall be anticipating our next meeting and offering you considerable encouragement in all that you are doing. In dear friendship, as always. Au revoir.
Thank you, Elias. Take care.